to today's issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. Welcome to the program we call Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman. The announcer just told you that, so I don't know if there's any need to tell you that myself, but there you go. Walker Wildman's in studio with me. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here.
And Chris Woodward from American Family Radio News, sitting in for the beloved, much beloved Fred Jackson.
Legendary.
He's visiting the Great White North.
He is. And still emailing us.
When will he be back?
Next week, Lord willing. Okay. I don't mean that in like a Lord willing, but like Lord willing, he'll be back next week.
Like, how can you... hold on a second.
Hold on.
Yeah, you did. Hold on a second. Dr. Ray Pritchard joins us from Kansas City. Ray's co-hosting with us on... today, as he does most Tuesdays and Thursdays. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. From Keep Believing Ministries, Ray. This is your after hours job right here.
This is his side gig.
Yeah,
this,
side
thank
gig.
You. I like you, Walker. I got a side gig here.
Side gig here. Tell us about Keep Believing, though. You travel the country teaching the Bible, right?
Yeah, and just about hit the road again next week. Going to be down in Florida, teaching the book of James at Word of Life Bible Institute. Do a lot of work teaching young people the Word of God, because the future belongs to the young, and I'm excited about doing any little thing I can do to equip young men and women who are eager to serve the Lord. So that's why we write and teach. And if you want to find out about our ministry, just surf on over to keepbelieving.com. We got a big library of biblical resources, and people from all over the world come there. It's free. So come see us at keepbelieving.com.
Hey, do you have a favorite book of the Bible you like to teach?
You know, the two that I teach most often when I travel are the book of James and the book of Galatians. And they're kind of like on opposite ends, because the book of James is as, you don't get more practical than the book of James, right? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Not so much heavy theology, but this is like where the rubber meets the road of the Christian life. And then Galatians, Paul is fighting for the truth of the gospel. So I figure if I can help young people get a hold of the truth of the gospel and shoe leather Christianity between Galatians and James, those are two pretty important books of the Bible.
Amen. Well, maybe one day soon we'll open up the Facebook.
Yeah.
And let people ask questions of Ray about the Bible. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll do that sometime.
Love to do that.
All right, Chris Woodward. You said what now? You said something about Lord willing.
I said Lord willing, Fred will be back next week, and I realized that could be taken in a number of ways. I mean,
I didn't take it that way. I mean, that's pretty common when you hope someone returns safely.
Right, well, but it sounded like something ominous was in front of Fred that he may not make it back. So God willing,
Ray, back me back up, though. Aren't we supposed to say Lord willing?
We're supposed to. That what? Book of James, chapter 4. We're supposed
see what
to
I
say
did there?
That. That's a good
James,
job.
But doesn't it say, if and the creek don't rise?
that's in the Greek. That's in the Greek there somewhere.
That's what I thought. That's in the Greek. Talked about the Greek.
Somewhere.
Huh? All right. That's so, right. And is that talking about a river or a tribe of Indians?
It got to be a river, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I just wonder. Somebody told me one time it meant the creek, as in the Creek Indians don't rise. It's an expression from the 1800s. Yeah. All right. So, Chris, what's going on?
Well, you know, obviously, there's a lot continuous coverage, I guess is the way to put it. Continuous coverage of Senator John McCain's funeral, the tributes, the funeral services, things like that. It continues today. Yes, sir. One of the things I wanted to bring to the table this morning was something Senator Graham said. Now, he's in the news for having a moving tribute to his longtime friend, Senator John McCain, which he revealed to CNN last night that President Trump called to say, hey, man, you did right by your friend. Nice job. And then he went on to say some other arguably pro-Trump remarks, things we don't often hear from people like Senator Lindsey Graham. This is clip one.
John is my dearest friend in the world, and I'm going to try to help President Trump. And I will, because I think country first means that. And if he'll listen, I'll talk to him. I've enjoyed my time with him. He called yesterday. after my speech, and he couldn't have been nicer. He said, that was very sad. I just want to let you know that you did right by your friend. I said, thank you, Mr. President.
The president called you.
Yes, he did, just right out of the blue. And, you know, to those who want me to say the only way you can honor John McCain is to fight Donald Trump and try to kick him out of office, I don't agree. I'm going to do what I think is best for the country.
Is that not a refreshing thing in the present climate in which we live, where I don't like you, so I'm just going to be nasty?
Well, I think it really speaks well of the president that he'd reach out to Senator Graham and say that, because everybody knows the is animosity the right word? I don't know that
yeah,
existed,
that's right.
Is that the right word? Well, you know, good on President Trump for reaching out to Lindsey Graham, and really good on Senator Graham for sharing that last night.
Yeah, absolutely. I admire Senator Graham for telling that story, and I admire President Trump for, because President Trump and John McCain, Senator McCain, they didn't get along, and the feelings were mutual.
Yeah,
it wasn't one-sided. It wasn't all President Trump, as Jim Inhofe, senator from Oklahoma, said. John McCain could be petty and vindictive too.
Right,
I mean, he had that reputation. I mean, President Trump has that reputation, but so did John McCain.
Yeah.
And now we learn that Sarah Palin, who was his running mate, has not been invited to attend the funeral services of John McCain.
Yeah, this is the old saying is it's a two-way street. Both of them had a feud with each other, and they were glad to throw punches at each other. But really, I think the controversy, or what the most some think is a controversy about President Trump and the White House lowering the flag for 2 days and then raising it back up on Monday morning, I think really that was a non-controversy. It was a controversy into nothing because—
Now, excuse me for interrupting. Are you talking about in honor of Senator McCain?
Yeah, the White House lowered the flag to half-staff for 2 days in honor of Senator McCain, which is protocol according to the federal code.
For a U.S. senator?
Then the White House raised it back up after 2 days, which is standard protocol. Well, the media and even some Republicans were criticizing the president and the White House for disrespecting Senator McCain because they raised the flag back up to normal staff too early, they said. But that was really a non-controversy because the White House did what it was supposed to do, and so but they were just trying to bring in President Trump and smear him and claim that he was being disrespectful.
The media was trying to do that?
Yeah, it's kind of surprising, I know.
When did that start?
Yeah.
Wow. I guess a love fest between President Trump and the media is over. you know, this is a very, first of all, back to the Senator Graham from South Carolina. He and John McCain, the late John McCain, they were very tight.
Right.
Anyway, I think it's good that – I think the president has handled this well. He did make some nice remarks at the dinner I was at on Monday night off the record. Well, he may have been on the record. Who knows? But I'm talking about President Trump did of Senator McCain. Now, about this story with Sarah Palin, who was his running mate, what is the truth there about, I mean, do you get invited to a funeral?
Well, I think a lot of people think the family should have invited her given the connection between those two, especially when former President Obama is delivering one of the eulogies at the funeral. The man he ran against and said, this is not the direction we need to go. You need to vote for me and her.
And her running
mate. They
didn't
invite her. And I think that's the issue some people have.
Would that have been his family?
No, that would have been Senator McCain's decision, because it's not like this was some, you know, custodian that he knew from 40 years ago in one of his apartment complexes. This was his running mate from 2008, but knowing that he was going to pass in the coming months, the decision was made intentionally not to invite Sarah Palin. I mean, there's no other way to go about that, just like they decided not to invite President Trump.
Well, here's where it gets muddy. In a Fox News story on this, it says, Palin has been left off the list of invitees to the funeral of the late Senator McCain, according to multiple reports. It then says, quote, my guess is it came from Cindy, meaning Senator McCain's wife, a source close to the McCain family told People magazine, referring to the late senator's widow. She is very protective of John's memory and legacy. She's also a grieving widow. I think she wants to get through this as best she can. Yeah. Your thoughts?
Right? You got any?
So we're saying, I mean, Walker, you're saying maybe it was the senator who made that decision, which makes, you know, it makes sense, except why would you X out your former running mate? I mean, she was up in Alaska. He recruited her, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not like she chose him. He chose her, and it didn't work out, okay? And maybe no matter what, maybe he wasn't going to win no matter what, but it seems, it feels petty to say to Sarah Palin, you're not going to be invited to the funeral. Although I think from what I've read, her statements have been, she's taken the high road in all this and has not entered into the fray. It's just odd.
Yeah, Senator McCain, I don't know if it was his decision or his family's decision not to ask Governor Palin. She is the former governor of Alaska, and his running mate. I think that is petty. And, you know, she's never said anything to diss John McCain that I'm aware of, even though.
He said things to diss her. He said he wishes she wasn't his running mate.
Mm-hmm. He wanted Lieberman, according to some reports in the 1990s.
Whether it's his family or it was him, it's tacky to not invite her to the funeral services. That's what I'm saying. You know, another interesting thing here about this is with John McCain is they're lauding him for being a person who crossed the aisle to work with the Democrats. The media, I'm talking about lauding him, and some are talking about his willingness to work in a bipartisan effort. Well, when Ted Kennedy passed away, who was called the Lion of the Senate, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Democrat, liberal. They didn't say, they didn't laud him for reaching across the aisle to work with the Republicans for, you know, on legislation. There was none of that. You know, he was a liberal Lion of the Senate. You're calling John McCain the last Lion of the Senate. So you're only applauded by the liberal news media and many of the pundits if you're a Republican who's willing to reach across the aisle to the Democrats. If you're a Democrat, you get slapped down if you reach across the aisle to work with the Republicans, which it rarely happens. But
I'll give you a good example of that. I'll pull up the link here in just a second and try to get it to Walker. But a couple of days ago, there was a headline where various news outlets were upset with Senator Tim Kaine, Hillary's running mate in 2016. Tim Kaine was not a firm no on Justice Kavanaugh, and people were losing their mind over that. Like, how can you not be a firm no on this? Mm-hmm. He, by the way, is one of the people that helped confirm Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Seventh Circuit, the woman that many people wanted to be on the U.S. Supreme Court. Kaine was amongst many pro-life Democrats, or sort of pro-life Democrats, that were in favor of her, and he's not, or at least in recent days, he was not a firm no on Kavanaugh.
So bipartisanship is a one-way street.
Yeah,
is what we're getting at.
Yeah. You're great if you're a Republican who reaches out to the Democrats, like John McCain did, to help the Democrats keep Obamacare.
Right.
But they never say, it's wonderful that a Democrat is reaching out to Republicans to try to work in a bipartisan way. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. But I will say, just to close this out, to invite President Obama to your funeral.
Mm-hmm. One of the funerals.
And not invite Sarah Palin, I just think that's wrong on the part of the McCain family. Also, I think it's kind of strange that your wife may fulfill your Senate. He's supposed to be there till 2020?
Yes. For the next couple of years.
Actually 2022.
So the governor, Ray, of Arizona, I guess it's up to him to appoint somebody to fill that seat until maybe a special election? Do you know anything about this, Ray?
Well, I think he's got to appoint somebody to fill out the rest of the term, right? But he himself is up for re-election this fall. So he's got a delicate balancing act. He's got to please the conservatives. He's got to please the McCain supporters. He's got to He's got to do whatever he's got to do so he doesn't mess up his own reelection chances.
You're talking about the governor.
Right, I'm talking about the governor, right. So there's a list of, what, about 8 or 9 people that he might choose, and Cindy McCain is on that list. If I'm guessing, I would think she's not going to be the choice unless what he wants is just a caretaker to fill that. You know, she gets the sympathy. She gets the sympathy of the of
right.
having
yeah.
filled her husband's seat, but she's not going to stand for re-election herself. But I would guess he wants, wouldn't you think it would be wiser to pick somebody who's a strong conservative who can stand for re-election?
I wouldn't.
Keep that seat in Republican hands.
I don't know why she would want it.
Yeah.
Why would she? Is she, does she want it, Walker?
Sometimes, and historically, a wife has taken on, you know,
there are reports that she is open to being, I mean, the family's been in power for 4 decades in Congress. So when you have that kind of power structure going on, then why not, you know, from their point of view, why not just keep it going?
Anyway.
I think it's bizarre that were to take place.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues. By the way, we failed to mention where folks can watch us on social media.
Yeah.
Because we're social media people.
Social mediaites.
I was trying to think what we are. But, where are we on on the social media?
Yeah, we're on Facebook and YouTube, so you can watch both. You can watch the shows on both of those places, Facebook, YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues.
Okay. By the way, Ray, you weren't on with us yesterday. I was telling the story about going to the White House Monday night.
Right.
And I talked about a conversation I had with Franklin Graham about napkins.
And did you take a napkin?
Well, what happened was I had an hors d'oeuvre.
Okay.
Which was a biscuit the size of your thumbnail. It was unbelievable. I thought, for the White House, this is sad.
They could do better.
Especially for President Trump.
Right.
You know,
right.
If he knew you were serving biscuits the size of a thumb, I don't think he would appreciate it, because
they should be huge.
He likes big and bold. Yeah.
Big biscuits, great again.
Anyway, so Franklin Graham says to me, hey, don't throw that napkin away that I got the hors d'oeuvre. I got the hors d'oeuvre in a napkin, right? So I said, what do you mean? He goes, because it's linen. And I said, really? Yep, it's linen. So I got it, and I got it right here in front of me, Ray. I brought it to the office.
All right.
And you can see it on Facebook. Can you see me, Ray?
I'm looking at you right now. I'm looking at
that
you.
That
right
is now. A napkin right there, my friend, served at the White House. And I put it in my pocket. And left, and there is nothing on there that says property of the White House. So I am not a thief, and I don't expect Robert Mueller to investigate me.
The FBI is going to come by to see you as soon as we're off the air.
If they Robert do, Mueller. Technically, the White House, you own part of the White House being
that's
a taxpayer.
Right.
So that is
that's
your house.
Right.
Hey,
it's the people's house. That's
I like that, Chris.
It's a souvenir I took now.
You know, that's linen. I'm looking
it's
at
linen.
It right
it's
now.
A linen. Linen. Yeah. It's they're walking around serving these hors d'oeuvres, and... And they're handing out, you know, napkins.
Yeah.
I didn't use the napkin for anything because the hors d'oeuvre wasn't small enough to wipe anything from your mouth. My word.
We're just saying, people. We're just making a point here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Serve some food.
Maybe President Trump's saving on, you know, White House budget on hors d'oeuvres. I don't know. But anyway, so I got the White House napkin, and it is linen. I was surprised.
But there's no markings on it, right?
No.
It doesn't
No, it doesn't say. Let's see, it doesn't say. No, there's nothing. But I don't know. But Franklin Graham kind of, you know, you're sitting there talking to Franklin Graham. You know, you should be talking about missions in Africa.
Right,
missions in Africa or something, right?
Samaritan's Purse,
hey.
Shoe boxes this Christmas.
Right, right.
He goes, hey, don't throw that away. Yeah. I said, what are you talking about?
Do you think Franklin took his?
I think he did, or he's been there before.
I wonder how many times he's been there.
I don't know. He's been there before.
I've been there as a kid.
But, huh?
I'm sure Billy probably took him when he was a kid.
Probably. You're probably right about that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Chris.
All right. This is something we at OneNewsNow.com and American Family News have been covering for many, many months now. There is a case, just to give you the background. It's a Michigan funeral home owner. He happens to be a Christian. He has an employee who informed him he was going to go on vacation and come back as a woman. The funeral home director says, you can't do that. We have a sex-specific dress code. It goes into the court system where a district court agreed with the funeral home that the federal workplace discrimination law known as Title VII did not protect transgender people. But the EEOC appealed that case and got a ruling in its favor from the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which ruled in favor of the individual, the employee whose last name is Stevens, this March. Now, fast forward to present day. Now we've got Alliance Defending Freedom, which represents the funeral home director, asking the U.S. Supreme Court to take up the case. And we also have a bunch of governors and various state attorneys general saying, please, Supreme Court, take up this case, because what Congress talked about in the 1960s with Title VII had absolutely nothing to do with transgenderism. One of the attorneys general that's part of this coalition is Leslie Rutledge from Arkansas. She was on Washington Watch with Tony Perkins yesterday explaining why she's part of this coalition urging the Supreme Court to take up this case involving a Michigan funeral home owner. Clip three.
Essentially, what is happening in the Harris Funeral Home case versus the EEOC, the Sixth Circuit determined that the federal government should be allowed to compel a funeral home to allow a male employee to dress as a woman despite this funeral home's clear sex-specific dress code. And what we're arguing in this 16-state brief to the U.S. Supreme Court is essentially that we're explaining that sex under the plain, unambiguous meaning of Title VII means biological sex. Mm-hmm. Title VII, I'm referring to the 1964 Act by Congress prohibiting discrimination only on the basis of sex. Now, however, as you recall, and many of us do, the water got a little muddy during President Obama's administration where we brought in gender identity and transgender status at the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And so what we're essentially saying.
Now, we putted it down there. She went on to reiterate what they were saying in that brief. The reason I bring this up is because this story is in the news today. CNN picked it up, and they're calling this a test for LGBT rights. For people listening, you might think, well, this has nothing to do with me. It does, because whenever rulings are made, that sets a precedent. And attorneys and law groups and whatever can go to courts and say, you ruled this way in this case, and therefore my client should have this. Mm-hmm. This needs to be on the radar of people. We have long warned our listeners and readers about judicial activism and how Congress should be the one making decisions, not our judicial branch, which in this case the judicial branch did. People need to be paying attention to this case.
This is going to go, is this going on to the Supreme Court?
It has not been a confirmed case for the Supreme Court, and obviously there's only eight justices.
Okay, let me get this straight. It's a pretty simple case here. They have a funeral home in Michigan. They hire people, mm-hmm. right? And they expect their men to dress like men. And in a funeral home, I guess unless you're a undertaker, you're wearing a suit and tie mm-hmm. because that's the appropriate attire.
Yes, sir.
And for a woman there working, I'm guessing they're wanting her to wear either a skirt or a dress, mm-hmm. maybe a pantsuit is appropriate. I don't know. So that's their dress code for their employees.
And a man wants to dress as a woman.
Good night. You just tell them no.
That's what the owner did, and he got a ruling in his favor until the commission ruled otherwise.
Go get you a job, man, where you can put on a dress, but you ain't doing it here. Huh? That's what the guy said?
That's what the owner told him.
So he's getting sued for that by mm-hmm. this person?
He's been sued.
This is very – and the Sixth Circuit ruled
in favor of the individual.
In favor of the man who wanted to wear a dress.
Yes, in front of grieving families
at a funeral. But that goes forward, what you say in that court case.
They're wanting the Supreme Court to take it up, yes.
Mm-hmm. We'll follow it. Well, they should, because that's ridiculous. other than that, I don't have an opinion. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
King of the Wild Frontier.
The music's free. I know we call it Learning University.
Of necessity.
Trivia Friday.
True.
Ding, ding, ding,
yes.
ding, ding.
Oh, really?
That's correct. Giraffes do not have vocal cords.
So you want a cheeseburger without cheese.
Hold the... called the
G. I said, yes, ma'am, whatever you call it.
Take a break with Tim Wildman and the gang. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, the very first day in Israel, when we're staying in Jerusalem, we go to the Mount of Olives. And it's there at the Mount of Olives we look out over the old city of Jerusalem. It's a spectacular sight. You've seen it in pictures before, but it's another thing to actually be there as we walk down from the Mount of Olives to the Garden of Gethsemane and we pray there. It's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country visiting the Holy Land, the land of Jesus. If you want information on this March 14th through the 22nd tour, just call us and we'll send you a brochure. Call 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5, and leave us your name and your address and we'll mail you a brochure. Or if you want to simply go online at twholyland.com, everything's there. twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News. And one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu.
It's not exactly Ali versus Frazier, but Florida voters are bracing for a political heavyweight gubernatorial fight. On the right side of the ring, Congressman Ron DeSantis, backed by President Trump. On the left side of the ring, Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum, backed by Bernie Sanders.
He is the most liberal candidate that the Democratic Party has ever nominated in the state of Florida by a country mile in a governor's race. He wants to abolish ICE. He wants a $1 billion tax increase. He wants a single-payer healthcare system in Florida, which would bankrupt the state. I'm trying to make Florida even better. He wants to make Florida Venezuela.
The governor's race in Florida should give freedom-loving Americans major cause for concern. Nobody wants the Sunshine State turned to a third-world country, especially Venezuela. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening. If you want to watch the show online, you can go to Facebook or YouTube or AFR.net and just type in Today's Issues, AFR.net. You can you watch there or just listen?
At AFR.net, yeah, you can listen.
Listen. If you want to, but check that out. That's where we are available. And Walker's posting the stories that we are talking about today that Chris is bringing to our attention. And as always, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. We have 180, how many stations we own, Walker?
183.
183 radio stations across America. And then we have thousands of people who listen on our AFR app, which is free to download, by the way. Just use your smartphone or iPad or similar device and download our app. It takes you about 1 minute or so if you have high-speed internet, and then you can listen anywhere in the world on your cell phone or tablet or iPad or similar device. So check that out and take advantage of AFR there on the web. Ray Pritchard is with us from Kansas City. Ray is co-hosting with us today on this Thursday. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Chris Woodward. We're in Tupelo. And then now we go to our good friend in the Twin Cities in Minnesota, Jan Markell. Jan's president and founder of Olive Tree Ministries, and she joins us most Thursdays at this time. Jan, good morning to you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, by the way, is your conference is coming up again when?
September 29th, Saturday, September 29th. We'll be live streamed at no cost at olivetreeviews.org. And AFR listeners will know every one of my speakers because they are frequent radio guests, and I think they're very popular guests.
Are you sold out?
Pardon me? Yeah, we're sold out, but 4,500 seats are sold out, but the live streaming is for everyone, no cost, no registration, olivetreeviews.org. Just log on there on September 29th. It's Central Time.
What's going to be your theme?
Well, understanding the times heavily. And of course, it's usually from, was always from a biblical perspective, but it's also from a Bible prophecy perspective. And a lot of the churches aren't talking about that, and that's why the destination is so popular, because folks love it. But the churches decided, oh, some 25 years ago, maybe not to go down that path because it's controversial. And there are different interpretations, and so they just leave it alone. And so folks love it, and they come out to these conferences.
Okay. Well, Jan, I wanted to ask you about your thoughts on the you know, the situation with the big tech companies. President Trump tweeted about that the other day. A lot of concern about the you know, the power that Facebook, YouTube, Google, and these companies have in their leftward-leaning political views.
Well, I think organizations, Tim, like yours and mine, were probably being marginalized on a daily basis. There's no question we are. I don't think we know the degree. I know ministries who are very popular and have a huge presence on YouTube, and their subscribers, the tech company is unsubscribing lots of their subscribers, so folks have to sign up again and again. And again, this is just an effort to silence Christians, to silence conservatives. This is a little bit like Nazi Germany in the 30s. Not that they had technology, but they were marginalizing any voice that opposed them. So I think this is hugely troubling, and I think your listeners and mine need to, I mean, even, gosh, if someone is technically gifted, how about starting a Christian version of Facebook or Twitter?
Yeah, that'd be great. Let me ask you this, Jan. You know, you and I both remember a decade, or at least two or three decades ago, liberalism was defined as wanting to allow for all people to be heard, all speech to be allowed. I remember even getting into arguments with some liberals on, you know, on some of that back in the 80s and 90s and so forth. But the liberal view, the traditional liberal view was, as kind of defined by Alan Dershowitz, the famed Harvard law professor,
right.
You know, he's for all views being allowed to be heard. Free speech is good for and healthy for our country, even if you disagree with the speech, whatever it may be. But that his brand of liberalism has been taken over by so-called progressivism now, and they do not tolerate dissent. Talk about that, if you would, the difference.
Well, that's absolutely true. I don't know what's happened to the Democrat Party,
right.
and I can remember it under Jimmy Carter, and for that matter, under Lyndon Johnson was not that long ago, my goodness. And folks who were supporting liberalism, Democrat Party back then, if they're thinking, they must be horrified. You just look at what happened in Florida here in the last couple of days, and you've got another pro-Venezuela guy who won a primary, going to run against DeSantis, and he's, I mean, again, Medicare for all. Free, there's no such thing as free. We're all going to pay for it, plus there's going to be rationing. So, again, I don't fully understand what happened. Let's just look at, because it's more recent, the administration of Jimmy Carter, which was a failure, and the Iran mess and everything else. But Jimmy Carter wasn't advocating for socialized medicine. Mm-hmm. He wasn't advocating for Venezuela-type politics. My goodness, this has come along in the last 15 years, And I'm not a Democrat, so I don't understand it. Maybe some of your listeners are.
Well, this is not your grandfather's Democrat party. This is Joe Lieberman's warned against this.
Right.
Lifelong Democrat. Jimmy Carter has warned against some of this. He said Democrats need to drop the impeachment talk about President Trump.
That's right.
There's a great divide now going on within the Democratic Party as the far, far left seeks to destroy the far left. all right, well, Jan, thanks for being on with us. Who are you going to be talking to on your show this weekend?
Dr. Ed Heinsohn this weekend, Liberty University. We got a topic that your folks will love. It's a looking up type topic. So please tune in 12 noon Sunday Central, 1 p.m. Central on Saturday.
All right, thanks, Jan.
Okay, bye.
Appreciate it. That's Jan Markell joining us from the Twin Cities. Ray, you and I are in the same generation. We remember the liberals like Alan Dershowitz, which we used to go to war with.
Right.
But man, now he seems more
like Joe Lieberman, and back in the day, Scoop Jackson, senator, who the liberalism.
John Kennedy.
Yes, it was a completely different version of what it meant to be a liberal, which Alan Dershowitz, he's as good a representative of that view as we have today, because he actually means it when he says, I believe in free speech. He wants all voices to be heard. And when, too many of today's liberals, when they say they believe in free speech, they mean it for them, but not for anybody else.
Yeah. A good example, building off Jan's comment that this has been in the last 15 years, that's spot on, because everybody listening, especially those watching online, go to YouTube and watch Bill Clinton and Al Gore's remarks on the day that President Clinton signed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. It was very pro-religious freedom. Al Gore, and I'm not making this up, Al Gore said, and I quote, "I'm glad to see we're not the only two Baptists in the room." And here
was
we are.
A different Al Gore?
Yes, it was.
And also, remember you had, in the early 2000s, you had under George Bush's administration, after Clinton's administration, you had people like Chuck Schumer and others talking about how important it was that we secure our borders. And that you would never hear that now.
Oh, yeah.
They would be drummed out of the liberal church if they dared to say that.
Right.
Yeah. We're going to talk about this more than the next hour, but back to there was a Facebook manager, I don't know what level, mid-level or a manager who came out publicly and basically was saying we have a problem within our own company of censoring conservative views. And
it was Brian Emmerich, senior Facebook engineer.
Senior Facebook engineer. He's a brave man to come out.
He's putting his own career on the line by saying that.
Yeah. So there, you know, I think it's good that this is out in the open because maybe it'll cause, maybe, who knows, The Twitter CEO said he openly admitted that we are a left-leaning company. I don't really care if these companies are left-leaning. It's when they start down the road, as they've done with Alex Jones, of shutting down speech. Now, I'm for shutting down. So I could understand a corporation shutting down a person if they are, like, inciting violence, for example. Encouraging criminal activity, calling for terrorist activity, those kinds of things. The equivalent of yelling fire in a theater. Then you could understand. But Alex Jones, they're just shutting him down because he represents viewpoints that these left-leaning, progressive social media, they don't like. And he's an easy target because he's out there by himself, basically. So nobody, not a lot of even conservatives defend him or care to come to his defense. But anyway, we'll watch that. But as a lot of people have said, you start with Alex Jones and what do you move to somebody else to shut them down.
Yeah, Steve Jordahl is following this story involving Facebook for us. He actually reached out to Facebook and got this comment from a Facebook spokesperson. That's all we were told, Facebook spokesperson. It said, "On day one of Facebook's new hire orientation, everyone hears from our chief diversity officer about the importance of diversity, and I'd have respectful conversations with people who have different viewpoints."
Who are you quoting now?
That's from a Facebook spokesperson about the situation Brian Emmerich wrote how they don't have any kind of diversity there.
They're better off being like Twitter and just saying, look, we're in Silicon Valley. We're left. We're liberal. Right. Many of our employees are liberal. Right. So that's just part of it. If you don't like it, don't use Facebook. But
They are a private company. You know, so they can. So, Ray, it's healthy that we're talking about this out in the open and so forth?
Well, absolutely. And by the way, to go back to the president, he has forced this issue on the table. You know, you can say what you want about his Twitter, because every day it's a new adventure with the president to see what, you know, we all get up in the morning to see what's on Mr. Trump's mind. But he has used Twitter recently to take the fight right to social media giants like Twitter and like Facebook. He's forced this issue on the table. I don't know if there's anything really the government can do, because these are private corporations. It's really even hard to think about what to do about Facebook, because they have 2.6 billion people in the world have Facebook accounts. So it goes way beyond the U.S. I don't even know how we would begin to regulate that. But kudos to Mr. Trump for using Twitter to attack the left-leaning bias of social media. Yeah. He says he's not going to put up with it.
Yeah.
I hope he can shake them loose a little bit to change their policies.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker. Chris and Ray is with us from Kansas City, and we are now welcoming Dr. Alex McFarland, who's with us most Thursdays. Alex is co-host of the radio program Exploring the Word every afternoon at 3:05 to 4:00 Central Time with Brother Bert Harper. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm doing great, fellas. Glad to be with you.
What do you think about what we're talking about here?
Well, you know, I think it's amazing, especially that now, you know, Alan Dershowitz is sounding more and more like a conservative. It reminded me of something, and, you know, I think as I popped in, the larger backdrop is how far, far, far left the left has gone. And Tim, you hit it on the head when you said the Democratic Party of today is not our grandparents' Democratic Party. But shortly before I went to Liberty University in the late 80s, Ted Kennedy went there to speak. And does anybody at the table remember that when Ted Kennedy, because it was kind of a big news deal, you know, and Ted Kennedy in his day certainly represented, you know, the Democrat left. I mean, he was kind of the poster child for the Democrats. But I'll never forget, and I would encourage people to read Kennedy's speech at Liberty back in the late 80s, because he's basically setting forth kind of what his principles as a Democrat liberal are all about. And his speech, almost any Republican would be okay with it. And there's a famous line where he warns Dr. Falwell, and he's talking about the you know, the loss of our morality and just all these different things. But Ted Kennedy said, "Let us never forget, today's moral majority could become tomorrow's persecuted minority."
Yeah.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
Think about this. This is a guy who's gone to Liberty to square off against the right-wing evangelicals, and he's saying, we've got to have free speech. Over and over, he says, you know, my brother died for these liberties and these free speech, you know, all these ideals of America. And Ted Kennedy, arch liberal, said, today's moral majority could become tomorrow's persecuted minority, which is exactly what has happened at the hands of the socialist, progressive, Democrat left.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. by the way, the August 30th Rasmussen poll, this is a daily poll, by the way, even though we don't talk about it daily here on the program. Presidential tracking poll for Thursday shows that 48% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's job performance. 51% disapprove. Are you, Alex, are you surprised, and then Ray, you can jump in here, are you surprised that the president has maintained roughly a 50% approval rating despite the fact that he has beat up day after day after day by the liberal news media and by the Democrats and by even some of the Republican establishment? I mean, it's incoming every day, all day for the president.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I think probably, truth be told, the approval of the American people is higher than that.
You think so?
Probably. But, you know, we're in such a culture that, as you said, the media attacks on the president are just unrelenting. You know, I just would beg people to get out and vote. These midterms are more crucial than I think a lot of people realize. And, you know, I'm not trying to be, you know, hyper dramatic or anything, but we have to save our nation. And if we don't stand against the ideology and really the deconstruction of our country by the progressives, the very Constitution hangs in the balance.
Oh, sure. They'll change it to get rid of it if they ever had the chance.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, in the spring of 2012, during Arab Spring, somebody asked Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, Mubarak is out, Egypt is reinventing itself, they're going to write a constitution. And she said, well, don't look at ours. Now, here's a lady mm-hmm. who gets a paycheck for ostensibly interpreting and defending the Constitution. And let me say, only the Bible is God's inspired word, but I think our U.S. Constitution was a God-ordained document.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And folks, I'm begging you, pray, stay informed, and vote.
Let me just jump on what Alex said, because or add to it, because he's exactly right. In terms of this, the polling numbers, guys, here's what's amazing to me. People were saying that last week was the worst week of Mr. Trump's presidency. You know, the Cohen stuff and the Manafort stuff. And I saw a lot of those articles over the weekend. And what do you know? His numbers now are going up and not down. That suggests to me that what Alex just said is exactly right. That if Rasmussen's number is 48, the real number of his support is probably several percentage points up above that, mm-hmm. which ought to give the Republicans some solid hope heading into these midterm elections.
Mm. Yeah. Well, listen, Alex, what is your website, and what are you going to be talking about with what's there, and what are you going to be talking about with Brother Bert this afternoon?
Oh, thank you. Well, we're in the book of Daniel, and we're just having a really good time going through Daniel. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 7, and I would urge people to turn there. You know, Daniel had a dream about the history of the world, and so that's what we're talking about. But the website where people can find me is truthforanewgeneration.com, and I do want to ask people to please come see us. We're going to be in Tennessee, September 14, 15, Murfreesboro. Great speakers like Josh McDowell, Dr. Michael Brown, Miki Addison is going to speak. She will amaze you. She's one of the greatest communicators you'll ever hear. So please come out and pray, even if you can't attend. We're trying to instill a love of God and country in
now,
the
hearts of all. This is your Truth for a New Generation conference?
It is. It is Murfreesboro, Tennessee, September 14, 15.
And that's right outside of Nashville, right?
Yeah, we're just maybe 30 minutes from the Nashville airport.
Okay, and wow, what a great lineup of speakers. How do I find out about how to attend the conference?
Oh, thanks. truthforanewgeneration.com, and that's spelled F-O-R, truthforanewgeneration.com. And we're also, at the end of October, we're going to be in Baton Rouge. And so there's a lot going on, but, you know, it's a full court press. We got to save this nation.
Mm, thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
Bless you.
Okay, that's Dr. Alex McFarland. You can hear him and Brother Bert Harper this afternoon at 3:05 Central Time on American Family Radio, as they will be studying the and going through the Book of Daniel, chapter 7. He said, and that's a unique radio program, folks. That is a live, interactive Bible study. So every afternoon, Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. It's a very good show, and those guys do a wonderful job, and they help you understand the Word of God, and so be sure to tune in with them this afternoon. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Chris Woodward
yes.
is with us from American Family Radio News and OneNewsNow.com. Mm-hmm. Check out OneNewsNow.com. Walker Wildman and Tim Wildman. I'm Tim Wildman, and Ray Pritchard is with us too. Go ahead, Chris. What's the next story?
You want golf or football?
Well, I love college football, football. But I, you know, I love golf when I hit a good shot.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll do the golf story.
Go golf first.
All right. So, you know, Tiger Woods was in the headlines yesterday for saying, I'm not going to say anything negative about the president, and I'm paraphrasing him. I respect the office. I think that's what you should do, that kind of thing. In the news today is Jack Nicklaus for praising Tiger Woods for not taking a negative stance on President Trump. The legendary golfer Jack Nicklaus commented saying Tiger Woods, he basically applauded him for having respect for President Trump. He said, I couldn't have agreed with Tiger more, whether it's Barack Obama or Donald Trump in the office of the president. You respect the office. The 78-year-old Nicklaus believes a person's political view shouldn't matter when it comes to respecting the commander-in-chief. Again, another example of
how the times
have changed.
Good for him. And if you don't know what happened, Tiger Woods finished the tournament of the round of golf, I think it was on Sunday, and one of the reporters asked him about President Trump and was looking for Tiger Woods to diss President Trump, and Tiger Woods said, as you said, he said,
I'm not going to go.
Whether you agree with the president or not, whoever the president is, he said, you respect the office. I do. This is Tiger Woods talking. So they try to draw him into being critical of President Trump, and he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't take the bait. And Jack Nicklaus, the legendary golfer.
One of the greatest.
Well.
If not the.
Yeah, I think the greatest in terms of records for major golf championships. He agreed with Tiger Woods and said, you know, I think Tiger's right. You stay out of politics. You respect the office. And I think that's the right approach for those guys.
Yeah.
I'm getting so tired of the celebrities and the news, many in the news media, and others who, if you agree with President Trump on anything, then you're not a human being worthy to be heard. Have you noticed this?
If you're a celebrity and you dare to say anything in favor of President Trump, you're going to be not just attacked, but you're going to be viciously attacked on social media, in the interviews, until they force you to walk back your comments. And how many times, guys, have we seen that? Celebrities made even the mildest comments in favor of President Trump, forced later to walk them back. This is free speech in the eyes of the left.
Yeah, you can't even say I agree with President Trump on this, and I disagree with him on that. You've got to.
That's not enough.
In the celebrity, and even on into the sports world now, well, we see what's happening here with Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods didn't back down. He didn't change his mind on this. He hadn't said anything. He's known President Trump for a long time. But he just said, I respect the office, whether it's a Democrat or Republican. You have to respect the office of the presidency.
And that's even that was considered controversial.
Yeah, you can't even hold that view.
Right.
With Hollywood and the entertainment industry, even in the sports entertainment part of it, if you don't agree with Maxine Waters, then you're not you're not worthy to be heard.
Right.
Okay. You're not a legitimate human being worthy to even be listened to. That's how crazy it's become. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Chris, thank you for your contribution. By the way, your name tag is upside down, Chris.
Yeah, this is a replacement, and Donnie told me, bad news, we printed it upside down. So, for anybody
okay,
watching.
Well,
yeah.
that's not reflective of your life, though, is it, Chris?
No, sir. No,
okay,
sir.
Okay.
I respect your office as well.
I was nicely played.
Yes, I was worried about you. Yes. You did great right there. Good answer, Chris. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.